Hello everyone, this is Yuri from losefatatwork.com, and with me today, I'm very excited, privileged, and honored to have world-renowned fat loss expert and author of Turbulence Training, Craig Ballantyne. Craig, welcome to the call.
Hey, thank you very much.
So Craig, before we get into all the juicy fat loss information, I want to find out a little bit more about you, because I remember reading on your blog that you have an interesting backstory. You grew up in Canada, originally wanting to be an NHL strength coach, is that right?
Yeah, that is. You know, for people listening, the NHL is the National Hockey League, so here in Canada, quite popular stuff. So, you know, that's where I was aiming my studies and all that sort of stuff first.
And so how did you end up going from an aspiring NHL strength coach to becoming one of the biggest fat loss experts on the web? Because it's a pretty different kind of focus. Where did that transition happen for you? How did you kind of enter into that realm?
It pretty much happened in university, and when I was studying, doing my research and training people, there's not a huge market for professional strength and conditioning in Canada as much as there is in the United States. So, you know, in terms of a career option, it was certainly something I was going to do on the side all the time. But, I started getting busy with the busy people. You know, busy people for fat loss, and I started writing for Men's Health magazine and started writing more busy people type workouts. And that was where the transition took place, probably in about 2000 was where it really switched over.
Okay, fantastic. And now, one thing that I really love about your information is that it's really perfect for the average person who leads like a busy lifestyle and wants to have that healthy lifestyle, but doesn't have the time or the energy to spend hours and hours a day devoted to this stuff. And in fact, you've openly proclaimed yourself as lazy when it comes to your nutrition habits, but you always manage to adhere to your plan without too much hassle. So what top three pieces of advice would you give to people who they're struggling with making that adaptation into a fitness lifestyle that's easy to manage and maintain despite a busy, hectic schedule?
I guess I would start, first of all, with, you know, maybe scrapping grand plans and looking more at baby step plans is what people want to do. Instead of trying to change everything at once, trying to change maybe a few things at once, smaller things. So, you know, tomorrow I want you to have one more serving of fruits and vegetables than you did today. Let's just focus on that. And then tomorrow I want you to get 5 more minutes of exercise than you did today. Especially, you know, if you're a beginner, I don't want you to try and go and start doing, you know, marathon running tomorrow. I just want you to ease into it so you're not injured and overworked sort of thing. So we would start with that as probably the number one thing to do. Getting sugar out of the diet is probably the second thing to do, because you really want to get eating better, and most people are just eating too much sugar. So especially women, when they come and they say they're struggling, we just take a look how much added sugar is in your diet. And in most cases, there's far too much, and people don't keep track of what they're eating. So, you know, maybe in combination with that, don't eat or eliminate the sugar, is make sure that you're recording your food intake. And when you record your food intake, you often find that you're eating a few more snacks here and there, and oftentimes they're higher in sugar. So, you know, getting the extra added sugar out of the diet and doing the food journal is probably the second most important. And the third is to, you know, for people that are exercising on a regular basis and are doing pretty well with their diet, the most important thing then is to increase the intensity of the exercise. So if you're in exercising and doing the long, slow cardio, we'd like to see you do some interval training and get into some more intense resistance training, and that will change your body a lot faster.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up that last point about the cardio, because that was one thing I wanted to ask you next, because when it comes to your training and nutrition philosophies, you're a big proponent of keeping things simple, and you've actually rejected a lot of ideas that have mostly been considered dogmas until recently. And a lot of people are skeptical about making these changes because they're unsure if they will still get results. So one of the things that we're going to talk about is cardio, but I wanted to hear your rationale behind a few things of this kind. So first of all, as you said, you're a major proponent of not using cardio for fat loss. You actually wrote the book, Just Say No to Cardio. But is it really bad for people to do cardio if they want to lose fat? Talk a little bit more about your views on that topic and why you're so against it for most people.
Well, I mean, you can do it if you want, but you just have to be careful about a couple of things. One is what I mentioned kind of earlier with the beginners, is making sure you don't do too much of it when you're not prepared when your body is not prepared for it. Your motivation and mind might be there, but, you know, it might be your Achilles tendon, it might be your knees, it might be your hips, it might be one of the muscles that's too tight. You know, you just might not be ready for it. And 7 days from now, that is going to be an injury and you're going to be in the doctor's office. So, you know, that's one of the biggest strikes against it, because you're literally doing the same movement thousands and thousands of times within the same workout. And it's like putting, you know, a twig under a microscope in the sun, and you can really intensify the heat down on that twig and even start a fire with that. And that's what we're doing with the overuse and the cardio, is we're doing the same motion. And if we have a biomechanical problem, you know, if you favor your weight on one side, or if you injured your ankle 10 years ago and it's still tighter than the other side, and then you go from the couch and doing nothing to doing 3-4 hours of cardiovascular exercise per week, weight-bearing, you're going to end up with a problem. And so that's the biggest problem with it. Now, the other problem is that we're dealing with people that don't have a lot of time and that want results fast. And if they're thinking that you only can get results from the long, slow cardio, then people aren't going to try it in the first place, or they're going to give it up quite soon before they give a program a good chance. So we certainly have also seen that some research is showing interval training is better than long, slow cardio, and sometimes the long, slow cardio gives you negligible results, even if you do hundreds of hours of cardio per year. So there's really not a lot going for it. If someone likes to do it, you know, we tell people to stay active on their off day. If they really insist on going to a gym and getting on a machine and doing it, you know what, that's fine, as long as they make sure they're not overdoing it, not getting overuse injuries, and that's fine. But, I mean, you don't have to do it to get results.
Excellent, excellent. Completely agree with you. And I find a lot of times I have to tell my clients that they're scared to cut down their hours, but that interval training really does make that difference, because the intensity is so much higher that the results actually improve with less time working out, which is what makes that so great for busy people. Now, another topic I want to talk to you about, and thankfully this one's starting to become more mainstream now, but there's still a lot of people that favor doing crunches and sit-ups when it comes to doing abdominal work, and you're also very against using those in your program. Why are those exercises so bad? And if people want to work out their core but can't do sit-ups or crunches, what other exercises could they use instead?
Yeah, I mean, the same situation applies here as to the cardio stuff. I mean, first of all, those exercises really aren't going to do that much for you. And second of all, if you do them too often, too much, too many repetitions, you can, in fact, lead to an overuse injury, and in a very important part of your body, which is your lower back, and with possible disc herniations. So, you know, you certainly want to avoid that. And if there's not really any good reason to be doing that type of training, well, then why bother? So it's very, very similar. You can pretty much write the same book, Just Say No to Crunches, as you could to Just Say No to Cardio. And what we generally replace that with, especially with the beginners, is more of the abdominal endurance exercises, such as the plank, the side plank, the yoga-type exercises. But we, you know, we certainly make sure that body is in a straight line and the spine is not aggravated. And so that's what we focus on first. And then we move into some of the stability ball exercises. I really like the stability ball rollout or the stability ball jackknife. You'll see those a lot in my programs. And you could also use an ab wheel for the ab wheel rollout, you know, the infomercial gadget. That's fine. Those are good exercises. And we just don't spend a whole lot of time on abdominal training, just because in most cases, we don't need to be doing a lot of that stuff if we're doing all the other proper exercises. Now, again, with the beginners, if somebody can't, you know, contract their abdominals properly, if they can't hold a plank for more than 20 seconds, we got to spend some time doing those exercises. But it's endurance stuff, and it comes along quite quickly. And then, you know, we need to keep that more of an in maintenance phase, and just make sure that we avoid, you know, exercises that really irritate that area, you know, the lower back and rounding your back and that sort of stuff. So we just don't need to be doing, you know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, even 15 minutes of abdominal exercises every day. It's just, you know, it's a body part that people like to look at and see on other people, but to change that area, it doesn't come from doing exercises specifically for that area.
Great point. And another thing that I feel is really important, and I always emphasize it to people, is that everyone has that six-pack shaped muscle. That's what your rectus abdominis, your main core muscle, actually looks like that naturally. And the reason why a lot of people actually can't see that core is not because they're not doing enough exercises, but because they've got a layer of fat covering it. And so an absolutely critical part also of getting that lean abdomen that most people want to see is nutrition. And you've been spending a lot of time on your blog lately talking about nutrition. You've been doing a vegetarian, vegan experiment, and you've had some really interesting ideas, one of which I want to talk about, which is that you've been against the old bodybuilding type idea that people need to have tons and tons of protein every day to build muscle and lose fat, and that they have to be chugging protein shakes after every workout, and you're very against that. So is it really impossible for people to improve their bodies drastically without loading up on that protein? And if so, what can they consume instead of those shakes if they want to get, you know, a quick and easy protein meal in?
Yeah, it's quite simple. I mean, we didn't have protein shakes, you know. We've had them for about 50 years, but even then, most people haven't really been using them because they haven't been tasting that great they still don't taste that great, but I mean, you know, they weren't tolerable until about 15, 20 years ago. And clearly, there's plenty of people who have been strong and physically able for centuries without the stuff. So, I mean, first of all, let's just get to the main point, which is there's nothing magical about this stuff. I mean, protein from a whey protein shake is not going to be any better than protein that you get from any of the other sources of, you know, meat or just plain dairy like milk, or, you know, you can even get vegetarian protein sources. There's tons of protein sources. It's just simply like getting carbohydrates from a variety of sources. It's nothing magical. Protein shake really has had a lot of powerful marketing behind it, and so people think it's a lot more than it is, and it certainly isn't. So, you know, what we need is not 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, which a lot of muscle magazines tell us. And that really holds true for the majority of people who are overweight, because this 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, you know, this is generally recommended by lean bodybuilders. So, you know, let's say it was true for them, which it isn't, but let's say it was. I mean, we can't go and tell a 275-pound man who's 35% body fat that he needs a gram of protein per pound of body weight. That's irresponsible. It really is. I mean, because you're getting up there into an area where you may end up with problems from that high of protein intake. Now, on the other hand, I also truly believe that the body is very adaptable and resilient. And so that, you know, if someone did consume a little extra protein than they needed, they don't have to worry about it. They're not going to have any long-term problems. You know, if you're consuming 200 grams of protein and you weigh 175 pounds and you're relatively lean, I don't think that's going to be a problem. But, you know, when we go back to that 300-pound or 275-pound overweight obese individual and we're telling them to have, you know, 275, 300 grams of protein, that may cause a problem because they have so much other stuff going on in their body. But I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying it may cause a problem. It's certainly not something I want to be recommending to people. So we certainly don't need to over-recommend the protein. And what we really need, you know, if you go to the RDA, and people knock the RDA all the time, but the RDA, the recommended daily allowance protein, is, I think, 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. And that, you know, will come out to be, for a 50-kilogram woman, only 40 grams of protein. And so there's really not a huge amount of protein. And when you increase your resistance training and cardiovascular training, your protein intake requirements may increase, and they may, in fact, double, but that's still well below 1 pound or 1 gram per pound. So if you double it, it's 1.6 grams per kilogram, which comes out to be slightly less, I think, than 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So that's a maximum amount. But the more trained you are, the less protein you actually need, because your body gets used to the muscle damage and doesn't damage your muscles as much, and, you know, doesn't lose as many amino acids from a training session. And your body is, you know, recirculating these amino acids. They're used in all sorts of things besides just your muscles. So, you know, it's a very complex situation, but the bottom line is we don't need as much as we think we do. And when we do put it more in than we need, we really can't do anything with it. I mean, I like to use the analogy of, let's say you have a factory assembling, let's say, canoes, and you're bringing all these canoe parts, you know, let's say like the wood to the factory, but you only have so many people in the factory who can only work so fast, and doesn't matter how much wood you bring, you can stockpile it outside the factory, but they can't use it because the rate of their work just can't keep up with how much you're providing. And that's what really goes on when we give too much protein, is we consume all this protein, but even if we've trained, our muscle enzymes can only work so fast to assemble protein inside our muscle cells. So the protein goes in. It's all absorbed. People talk about, you know, you don't absorb protein. Well, they don't understand what absorption means. Digestion and absorption means when you consume the protein, digestion breaks it down into smaller amino acids and dipeptides and peptides and stuff like that. And those are transported across the intestinal wall. And that's probably 95% to 97% of all the protein you consume. So you can digest and absorb almost all the protein you consume. And then once you get that inside, it's the utilization where people just don't utilize all the protein they consume. Because what happens is all those amino acids that get broken down in the liver, and if they can't get transported into a muscle cell or any cell of the body to be used, what happens is the amine compound, so the nitrogen containing part of the amino acids, is removed. You urinate that out, and you're left with what's called a carbon skeleton, which then can be used in the process of creating energy or utilizing energy. And so basically it becomes as if you just consume carbohydrates. So all that excess protein simply becomes carbohydrate, or, you know, down the line of carbohydrate breakdown in the body. I mean, so you end up urinating away the the nitrogen portion, and so you just don't end up using it. So it's the utilization that people can't keep up with, but the digestion and absorption they can. So what we have there now is really a need for protein. I would say about half a gram of protein per pound of body weight in a relatively lean individual. That's much less than what most people think. At most, 0.7 or 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So, I mean, you can round up to 1 gram if you're lean, that's fine. But if you're overweight, bring it down to 0.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight. That's much safer. And then in terms of protein sources, I mean, there's really no good reason to believe that taking a protein shake, which in most cases is going to be whey protein, which is, you know, a breakdown product in either the milk or the cheese production process, whatever. I mean, if you take 20 grams of protein from whey protein versus 20 grams of protein from milk, and you add in a few more calories to the whey protein to make up for the carbohydrates in the milk, you put 100 guys on each supplement there, you know, milk versus whey protein plus some carbohydrate, you're not going to see any difference between the two groups at the end of the day. It's impossible for you to see any difference. There's literally no difference between the products. So if you can consume milk, you may as well consume milk. I mean, depending on what's cheaper, what's, you know, more readily available, or if your stomach can tolerate it, that's what I used to consume quite a bit right after training. It's the same stuff. And if you can't do that, I don't have a problem with people eating real food. I mean, I don't think that most people need to be consuming stuff within 2 seconds of their last repetition in some, you know, fancy shaker and spending a lot of money for it, because, you know, that's just one simple meal over the course of, you know, a day, a week, and a 3-month training period. So, you know, if everything else was as scientific and as timed out as that, maybe you would see some difference from consuming, you know, the most expensive supplement on the market. But I doubt most people's lives are that organized. You know, people go away for weekends to places like Las Vegas and overindulge in stuff and don't exercise. And then they come back and they worry about whether or not they have a protein shake right after training. Well, I mean, that's kind of irrelevant considering what you did on the weekend. So, you know, if you want to step on stage, I would go with all the theory and timing, and I would pay attention to that. But if you're just a person that wants to lose belly fat, I wouldn't get too obsessed by stuff, because that's that's one of the messages we're trying to get across to people, is stop being so obsessed with all this stuff.
Excellent points. That was some serious knowledge bombs dropped there, and I agree with you entirely. And I always tell people, they're so preoccupied with all these little details about how much protein, when should I get it. It's like, just do your workouts, do the right kind of workouts, eat that healthy food, and you're going to see the changes you need. If you focus too much on the minutiae, it's like you're missing the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And one resource that I want to talk to you about now, because I think you've really helped a lot of people do this with your book, Turbulence Training. It's really, in my opinion, it's an absolutely essential resource for anyone who's looking for a proven fat loss program, because you just break things down and you make it so easy to understand. And what's amazing about it is that you've helped thousands of people change their bodies with this program, but the amazing thing is that most of them seem to be actually spending less time working out than they did before. And you stated that the whole key to these results is the concept of creating, like, metabolic disturbance, or as you call it, turbulence. So can you talk a little bit about what turbulence is and why it's so effective for getting people in amazing shape with so little time spent working out?
Yeah, so what the turbulence training is, like, let's compare it to the cardiovascular training. Cardiovascular training, everyone may have heard the phrase steady state training. It's where you basically go at the same pace for the entire workout. And now the turbulence training is the exact opposite. We're doing intense training and then backing off. And what we're trying to do there is, with the steady state training, you don't, you know, put your body outside of equilibrium. It stays very close to how it was at rest. It's not that big of a change. Your body doesn't have to work very hard after training to return to the resting state. But with turbulence training, we're putting a harder stimulus, more intense stimulus on the body, demanding more of it, resulting in more protein turnover in the muscles, so there's more muscle damage from both the resistance training portion and the interval training portion. That may or may not lead to more calorie burning after exercise. Some people say it doesn't. A lot of people say it do, or say it does. I believe that there's got to be something going on there. We certainly get more results in less time. I mean, at the very least, it's a faster way to get great results. Even if cardiovascular training, you know, steady state training worked amazingly, you get the same results in less time from the interval training. And I truly believe that you get more what I call life applicable fitness benefits from the interval training and the intense resistance training, because most people are never going to have a need for jogging 10 kilometers. I mean, you just don't have that need on a daily basis, but, you know, you might need to carry really heavy grocery bags, 100 meters, 150 meters at most, if you live in a city, maybe even a little bit further, sorry. You know, that's fitness that is not going to come from light resistance training and cardiovascular training. Or you may need to run up 5 flights of stairs. And that type of fitness is not built from long, slow cardio training as well it is from short burst training. Almost all sports, you know, with the exception of the endurance training sports, but, you know, team sports, they're almost all benefiting more from interval type training, because that's what they are, the short burst, stop and start type sports. So that's the type of stuff that we're into. That's going to put what I called before the turbulence on the muscle, the stimulants on the muscle that is going to demand it to change, because that's what training really is. Doesn't matter what kind of training we're talking about, but what we want to do is put a stimulus on the muscle or the body that requires it to adapt during recovery, which is a big part of turbulence training as well. But during recovery, you get stronger, you lose fat, you get fitter, you know, you improve your delivery of oxygen to your muscles and your uptake of oxygen by the muscles and the utilization of oxygen within the muscles. That all happens during recovery. And if we put the right amount of stimulus on the body, everything works out great. Now, if we train too long or too hard or too frequently, our body never gets a chance to adapt to the stimulus. You know, it doesn't get a chance to get stronger or fitter. And then that's when we get what's, you know, people talk about overtraining, or maybe you get sick, or maybe you get an overuse injury because your body just hasn't had time to repair. So the turbulence is a stimulus, and then we have that recovery. You know, turbulence training is also a lifestyle program because it's built around 3 workouts only, 4 days of recovery of nice, easy activity that don't get in the way of recovery or the next workout. And it's really taking kind of structured athletic training and putting it into the fat loss world, it's really, really, really structured and really, really planned out and is more than just, you know, let's go see how much exercise we can do this week because we're really focused on burning calories in the workout. We're not focused on burning calories in the workout at all. We're focused on intense quality training.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I actually use turbulence training workouts with my clients specifically for that reason, because it's really, like you said, it's a lifestyle workout. It's so perfect for people who are busy, they got jobs, they got families, and they just want to be able to stay fit, stay in good shape without having to commit hours and hours and hours, just have it nicely fit into their lifestyle. And that's what's so fantastic about it. But another thing that's also amazing as that you've included in the program is the idea of social support. And there's more and more research coming out now that's showing how important social support is. And I know that it's been a major part of people's success with turbulence training, because when people get access to your program, they also get membership to the amazing TT Members site. So tell us a little bit more about what you've got going on at TT Members and how that's really helped people achieve success with their fat loss programs.
Well, yeah, so in the forums at the membership site, we just get people interacting from all over the world, and people help one another. You know, they've been through a problem and somebody else is asking about it, so they can chime in, or they've done one of the workouts somebody else is asking about and they can say, oh, you should maybe try this or this, or if you don't have this piece of equipment or if you don't like that exercise, here's one you can substitute in. And then they also get people asking, you know, making sure that they're on track and all that sort of stuff. So that's what the social support is, because a lot of people don't have it in their regular life. And then we also have the transformation contest stuff, which is really, really powerful. And, you know, it gives people deadlines and it gives people more access to the social support and it gives people incentive and competition. And some people are really motivated by that. So there's a lot of benefits to the contest that we do 3 times per year, the turbulence training contest, and it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and I can't recall the name of the most recent female winner of your contest. How many pounds did she lose in the 12-week challenge she made?
Yeah, Robin lost 34 pounds, which is actually the record for men and women. The funny thing is, in the past, we had never had anybody lose more than 33 pounds in the 12-week transformation contest, and that was a guy, and women had... The best woman was 21 pounds in 12 weeks, and then out of nowhere, Robin came in and lost 34 pounds in 12 weeks, and it's really, really impressive, and you can, you know, see those on the website, and wow, she just made incredible changes, and she just did another one, and another transformation contest, and she's made even more improvements, so great stuff.
Yeah, and I want to recommend to anyone, if you haven't yet seen it, go to, is it transformationcontest.com, Craig? Is that
correct? Yeah, that is it.
Transformationcontest.com. Go there and just look at the photos. Look at what Robin did. I mean, you can barely recognize her. She changed so incredibly. And that was just 12 weeks. And it just shows you the incredible power of these turbulence training workouts, which it's just mind-blowing, the results that people are getting with these. Now, so, Craig, you've shared an incredible amount of information with us during this interview, and I don't want it to stop there, because I think that the problem a lot of people have is that they fill their head with this information, but then they don't actually know how to go out and apply that knowledge and get real-world results. Now, what you've done for people with your turbulence training program is actually created an entire system that has all their workouts planned for them for months and months. It's got nutritional guidelines, a bunch of bonuses, a whole bunch of other stuff in there. So can you tell us a little bit more about, like, everything that's included in the turbulence training system?
Yeah, so what you're going to get is, if you're a beginner, you know, you don't have to be too intimidated by this, because we have beginner programs, what I call an introductory program, which is, you know, where someone who hasn't exercised in years will start there, then a beginner level, which is where if you've just been doing cardio, I want you to start there, and then the intermediate program is next, and even I like the advanced people to start there just to get used to it for a couple weeks. And then there's several advanced programs after that. So people work their way up and start working their way through those programs, and it keeps them busy for over half a year. We just keep adding more programs to that. And then there's also a few other bonus workouts. They get nutrition guidelines, and then they get the membership bonus, which is a month into the membership area where they get to interact with the other members, and they get a new workout every month as long as they stay a member of the membership site. So lots of powerful stuff there. There's specific bonuses for men and for women, some muscle-building stuff for men, or some more female-specific stuff for women. So some motivation and mindset stuff in there as well. We've got some really good calls on the membership site that people can listen to. So we're just trying to make sure that we address every single aspect of the fat loss program, which is not only the resistance training and interval training and diet, but also the social support and mindset and motivation.
Absolutely. And folks, I can tell you that I've reviewed a whole bunch of fitness ebooks and courses, and I can tell you that Craig's program is hands down the best one out there. And the amazing thing about it is that if you went and paid a trainer to give you that same information one-on-one in person, I mean, the information, you'd probably pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for all that, because the honest truth is that for a program this effective, it would be worth it. And the crazy thing is that somehow Craig has got an offer today for the listeners of this call that I think is absolutely insane. So instead of paying the hundreds of dollars that this program's worth for a very limited amount of time, you can actually get started on the program for pretty much less than you pay for like a Frappuccino at Starbucks, which, Craig, I kind of have to tell you, I do think you're a bit crazy for this, but tell everyone a bit more about this offer and how they can get hold of it.
Yeah, so with the trial offer, what you're going to do is just basically you have 21 days. It's just, you know, $4.95, and you get started. You get everything. You get the month free of the membership site, and you get, you know, all the programs. And you get 3 weeks to try it out. And if you don't like it after 20 days, just let us know, and you won't be billed any further. But if you love it, which I hope and know that you will, then the remainder of the price, which is $35, will be billed 21 days later. So you get to try it out for 21 days at just $5 if you're a little skeptical about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, less than $5 to get started. For anyone listening to this call, I've got to tell you that if you do one thing to change and improve your body, this is what you should do. For less than $5, go on there, and the website that you need to go to access this, it's www.fatlosswithcraig.com. That's FatLossWithCraig, fatlosswithcraig.com. And if you go there, you can get advantage of this $4.95 offer. It's absolutely incredible. I can't recommend it highly enough. And Craig, I just want to thank you so much for putting this offer out there for people. It's a really generous way of helping people to change their lives and get started achieving their goals.
Great stuff. Happy to help.
So that's going to wrap up for the call today. Craig, I know you're very busy, and I'll let you get back to things, but I just want to thank you again so much for taking the time to come on this call and share all of your knowledge and information with us. I really appreciate it. I think anyone who listens to this call over the last half hour, you probably have changed your whole idea about fat loss and how you can get in shape, and Craig has done more than anyone to help people all over the world do that. So, Craig, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.